Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, give us the discernment about what is best for us to do. Guide us with loving understanding and faith to you, Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today I've been thinking about all the influences that we have in life and the problems that we have in life that take our comfort away or that give us comfort. And I think about the most basic need that we have is Jesus Christ. We need that essential spiritual part of God. And we do make tests in life to make sure that things are going well with our spiritual life and our physical life, and we have the loving presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do want to be comfortable as we give praise and worship to Jesus Christ. We always have two choices. Do we go towards Jesus or away from Jesus? And look in the world and you can see that so many people, well, there's plenty going to Jesus, and there seems to be so many more that are going away from Jesus. And where are they going into? The lake of fire, it seems. But it's not for us to judge. It's just that we see that that is a likely outcome. So we get to practice obedience to our Lord God Jesus Christ, and maybe we get to see some of the glory and some of the answers from God as we search out the Bible. Today, we are living in a part of eternity right now because our thoughts and our actions have to do with our eternity, what our eternity will be like, whether it's in heaven or in hell, and how are we going to obey God and live rightly right now. Well, there are plenty of people who obey, let me call it a different God, and they have ideas that they find that they want to pursue. It might be drugs and alcohol. It might be pursuing another person or a position of power over other people. And this is something that forms our future based on how we are living today. So remember Jesus Christ in your life as you live each and every day. We want to protect our thoughts and our actions and keep them holy. Recognize God's authority and study the Bible. The Bible helps us to understand all of that. We want to practice God's righteousness and give thanks and appreciation to the Lord our God. Well, these are thoughts I've been having these last days. I see people either move toward God or move away from God. And a lot of the things in the world make me concerned about where the world is headed. For 38 years, I've been a property manager, and I have seen the problems going on, and a part of my job was to fix the problems before they became a problem. So a part of who I am and what I see is to look for the problems and see how we can avoid the difficulty that would happen in the future with those problems. Oh, so what are the big problems today? Well, we see them in our life. We see them in our government, and we see them spiritually, as we know some people will go to heaven and some people will go to hell. So how can we fix these problems? Well, we all have a different answer, but we all know that we don't want problems. So let's see what we can do to fix things to go in a good and wonderful and holy way. We have lots of things going on. You can call them problems, or you can just see they're a natural consequence of the choices we make. We have ideas about what should happen in life, and sometimes it causes wonderful things in life. Sometimes it causes problems. And so let's learn from the examples of life that we have done and live holy in the future. Now, we see those problems, and again, I think of Proverbs 22:3. Oh, there's 27. Proverbs 27:12. That also talks about a wise man seeing what is coming and how to avoid the problems that are coming in his direction. And that's what we all do a little bit or a lot. We look into the future, see what just might be coming down the path toward us, and then we try to avoid the trouble. And right now, we see lots of things that could be problems. We see there could be war developing, even a world war. And we know what happens with war. Historically, a war brings shortages to everyone. That's a part of what we can do to look at future needs and see what makes sense to do. Could there be a famine? Could there be a shortage of our supplies that we normally expect? Certainly food is a big issue. What about water? Well, we know that there have been plots uncovered for years or even decades about how one group or another is going to sabotage the water supply. So this is a part of what we look at to figure out what we can do to protect ourselves, our family, our loved ones, our community. And water is a very important element of life. We can't live without water or food or warmth or a sense of community to help one another. These are all essentials of life. So consider what you can do to have the essentials of life if difficulties develop. Now, we have plenty of things that are just going on around us, and these are all things that we get to figure out to see, what can I do to keep a comfortable life? And that's what we want for ourselves and our loved ones. So give it a thought. See what you can do so that if there ever is a problem, that you can still continue with an amount of comfort in your life. We have so many blessings. Give God thanks for all of the blessings that we do have. I was thinking about this water thing and how fluoride has been put in our water for over 20 years. In the big cities, the Congress passed a law about 25 years ago that said if your water district serves over so many thousands of people that you have to fluoridate your water. And there has been a discussion right now about, do water districts still use chlorine to clean up their water? Well, I was listening to this Poplar Preparedness on YouTube, and he reported that people have noticed a change in their drinking water. And as he looked into it, he found out that there were water districts that had changed from chlorine to chloridine, from chloride to chloridine. And that chloridine was not good for fishes or young plants. It would kill them. So you can only imagine what that is doing to us. But the water supplies have always been a question about, should water be attacked if there is a war? should water be cut off from the population if there is a war? And that has been going on all over the world. Cut off people's water. Everybody in Africa knows that. Water has been cut off from all sorts of peoples all over the world. And just because we know it has happened, we ought to know that that could be a goal for what somebody wants to do to America. Therefore, know how to purify your water, make it clean for drinking, and look at, for years and decades, we have had wonderful clean water to drink out of the faucet whenever we wanted. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful, just wonderful that we have had that happen in America. Our water supplies have been clean and pure for a long time. But think about, what if the water supply was cut off or just plain had an accident? What if we could get no water out of our faucets for a few days? What would we do? Well, have some water, have some food, have some supplies, and have a sense of community for us to help one another. Because shortages do happen. They've been happening for years. And sometimes it is so obvious, and sometimes it hardly shows. Now, if we look back just a couple of years to 2020, do you remember all the baby food disappeared off the shelf? Do you remember there was the toilet paper shortage? And there have been other things that have not always been easy to get at the stores that we normally shop at. So it's a matter of knowing that there can be shortages happening right to our very life. Nowadays, there are people who say that the fresh vegetables just don't last like they used to. The quality of vegetables and groceries is not very good compared to what it used to be. So it's just another example of what can happen. Will it happen? Does it happen? Oh, probably yes to both questions. And it's a matter of, what do we do to protect our food and our water? What if things were to change in our world, in our society, in America? Well, we already know that there are problems here and there with this and that. You remember the problems with chickens and the hens that would lay our eggs. They have been killed by the millions. And it is said it's because of bird flu. Oh, there was a million chickens laying hens killed in Illinois. I think it was 4 million in Iowa. And there have been flocks here and there that have been killed by government orders. So do you think that could make a shortage of eggs sometime? Or maybe it would just make an increase in the price of eggs. Really, we have things to consider for what makes sense to do. We have a situation that just doesn't always come to our thoughts. But if we look back, we can see the shortages. We can see the things that could be problems. We can remember a couple of years ago, there was the 200 food processing plants that somehow mysteriously were damaged. Some of them burned down, some of them were run into, or just had some kind of a problem where that food processing plant shut down. 200 in the USA, and there were other countries that had food plants shutting down also. Does this mean we should be concerned? Yeah, a little bit. Does this mean we should worry? No, don't worry, but just recognize that it could be a problem and then do something about it. I think about the groups that have warned us. There have been groups that have warned us. And you know, there's the World Economic Forum, and they have had warnings to their members. Do we hear about them? Hardly, but they did warn about a food shortage. They did warn about electrical shortages. They did warn about a pandemic. But it doesn't mean they're right. It just means there are people who recognize that there could be problems. So maybe you should look at if there were problems also. That World Economic Forum had a campaign about 2016, and they advertised this slogan that you would own nothing and be happy. Well, in the last few years, the middle class has been declining and declining. And you could say it was the last 5 years. You could say it was the last 25 years. Either way, you would be correct. The middle class has been declining. The numbers have gotten smaller and smaller. And now, with all the expensive things going on, we have inflation. We have prices increasing for food and supplies. We are declining in the United States. Our middle class is declining. And is it intentional? It sure could be. But we still have to deal with the fact of whatever is. And then how do we get through a time of trouble? It reminds me of Luke chapter 14, verse 25, where it talks about one day of food will be equal to one day's of wages. And that means we will just be getting by. We will just be surviving just to get enough food to live. Now, the Bible has been true over and over and over. So should we look at it to understand what the future will bring? It's always a good idea to consider when we realize it is from God. The Bible is a book from God, written by men, inspired by God. And we get to figure out, should we trust the Bible? Well, it sure has come true over and over and over again. So, yeah, trust the Bible. See what it says is coming, and then make plans as though it was going to be a fact. We would be seeing wars and earthquakes and famines and pandemics. All these things it talks about. So what would you do if you knew that kind of trouble was coming? Would you prepare for it? I hope so. And speaking of hope, we do want to have hopes and prosperity and good things that we want. And sometimes they don't just happen automatically. Sometimes we have to make a plan to get those good and wonderful things that we want, that we need to survive with our family, as a community, even as individuals. We do want to have that prosperity and goodness in life, and sometime we need to recognize that we need to make a plan. Or we can just listen to people. Who do you want to listen to? Do you want to listen to the guy on the radio? Do you want to listen to your leaders and authorities? How about government? Do you want to listen to them and believe government, that they know the very best? Well, I know there's a lot of politicians that want to tell you what you want to hear. I hear there's even church people that tell you what you want to hear. And somehow it is up to us to determine what is truth and what is not truth. Now, we want to preserve the freedom that we have. We want to preserve the prosperity that we have. And sometime we might have to search for how to do it and have a plan, because we don't want the hard times to come along for our children and grandchildren. We do want to maintain the freedom that we have. So what do we have to do? Maybe we have to think about what our future could hold and then come up with a plan for how to preserve our prosperity, our peace, and all the good things in life. Now, there are forces around us that want us to not have those good things. And those forces have been around forever. Every large organization and government has wanted to take away the person's poverty, take away their freedom, and take away their prosperity so that the people would be more controlled. That's a matter of history. So how are you going to maintain your freedom and your strength and everything you need to stay free and have wisdom? Well, it sure helps to read the Bible and pay attention to the lessons in the Bible. Because we all know people lie. Every authority lies. Every group of people lies. And we don't want to believe the lies and the false promises that people have. So it means we have to search out information and try to apply what is wise. There's a lot of people today who want to tell you things that are not true. You know there are people today who cannot define what a woman is. You know there are people who cannot define what a baby is. And some people want to say that baby is or is not a living human, or maybe it is after the baby is born. We have a very confused society, and we have authorities that want us to stay confused, and that way they will get to tell us what to do. Well, at least that is my opinion. But sometime we have the things going on, and it's obvious what is true and what is not true. And that reminds me of, in the 1960s, there was something called the CIA Operation Mockingbird, where they would control what the mainstream news said. Oh, a couple of years later, was it 15 or 20 years later, there was William Casey, the director of the CIA, and this seems to be a true quote when he said that when the public cannot tell what is true and untrue, then we know that our misinformation program is complete. That's not a perfect quote, but it is about what he said. So we have the little indicators all over the place that there is misinformation going on from the highest levels of government. And we also know that our media, especially our social media, electronic, wants to keep us from speaking anything that is misinformation. So, what is misinformation? That is something we all have to examine and know that we only will speak the truth. And the biggest truth there is about Jesus Christ. So you remember that as you speak to people to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the best truth that there is. And wouldn't it be the best truth that there is to tell anybody how they can get to heaven? Encourage them to read the Bible and have a relation with Jesus Christ? Yes, that's the very best truth. But as we go through life, we know that there are lies right in front of us. We know that things just don't make sense that the government has said. Oh, do you remember Nord Stream 2 pipeline? The government people said over and over that Russia blew up that pipeline that was supplying natural gas to Europe. And that was in 2022. Well, does that make sense to you that Russia would blow up the pipeline supplying natural gas to Europe? You look a little further into other information and you find out that there have been recordings of what happened in that area of the Black Sea. That there was a research vessel there, and there was a ship. must have been Navy ship with you. It was named USS Corsange. That's it, Corsange. And that ship was in the same area of the pipeline. And of course, nobody had a video camera there to tell you what happened. But it is a very interesting thing that there was apparently, I say, a machine that could go under the water and plant whatever it would on the pipeline that was 200 feet deep under the water. Not everybody and everything can move that far. Not everything and everybody can plant explosives at that depth. Enough explosive to put a hole in a 1.5-inch, it was 1.6-inch steel pipe. That's not easy. So we know there are things going on, and we know we don't know the truth. But we know we want to pursue truth and have understanding. And that reminds me of the men of Issachar. The men of Issachar are in 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, 32. And the men of Issachar wanted to know what truth was, and they pursued understanding. And that's in the Bible to remind us that we can pursue truth and understanding. Well, I can tell you what I see, and that's what I see as to why it is in the Bible. It's an example to us that we can search for truth and try to understand what is being hidden from us and why. Why do people tell us lies? Why? It happens all the time. We get lies and we get misinformation. And probably it is so that the people telling the lies do not face an immediate consequences of the lie. But we know that there are mistruths, yes, lies that are being told all over the place. And we get to try to figure out what is true and untrue and then apply that understanding to our life. Does that mean there is trouble coming? Oh, yeah, it sure does. So try to figure out what to do to preserve your life, the life of your family, the life of your community. Have some supplies, water, food, and warmth. That's what I see over and over as we see the military is moving here and there in the world. The military is having plenty of activity all around the world. And we look at what the military has done. Has it been a good thing that we left Afghanistan and our military left behind? Oh, now this is an interesting part, too. When you look up how much supplies, how many guns, bombs, tanks, and vehicles the military left behind in Afghanistan, there are multiple answers, and we really don't have the understanding of what is the true answer. I've seen numbers ranging from 400 million to over $1 billion of equipment. Now, a billion is 1,000 millions. I've even seen $70 billion of military equipment left in Afghanistan. Do we know that it's 7 or 70 billion? No. It depends on how you calculate it. And that reminds me of what my dad used to tell me. He used to tell me, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And that's so true. What category are you going to put this or that into? And there's a real answer to the question, but there's not an answer to the method. And when we think about the monies that have been spent, and I think about what Obama gave to Iran in 2016. Oh, now here again we have a question of what is the correct number. It seems like the lowest number is 400 million in currency that Obama shipped to Iran. And the higher number is several times that. So we really don't know if it's millions, billions. We really don't know, because the accountants will put the numbers into one category or another. But it sure was a lot of currency. It was both dollars and euros and Swiss francs. All of that. But this is a problem that we face about finding real and true information, because you look it up one place and you get one answer. You look it up another place and you get another answer. Like I said, figures don't lie, but liars figure. That becomes more and more true as you look at what is going on around us. Well, we encourage truth, and we encourage to understand what is going on in the world. There's lots of things that we don't understand. Oh, certainly about money, and certainly about military supplies, and we don't know why the United States is wanting to support, groups that would cause harm and disruption. But we have things going on, and those people in charge tell you a story so that you will understand and agree with what they're doing. But it doesn't mean it's right, and it doesn't mean it's true. And we have to try to understand what is going on so that we might be able to oppose it. But even if we can't oppose it, we can know that these are the things going on, and that this is what we ought to do to protect ourselves and the people we love. We can protect our community a little bit. We can encourage people to get ready for what is coming, which we don't exactly know, but we do know the Bible tells us a few things are coming. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence, and what all that entails will be quite a difficult time on earth. So, what can you do to get ready? Well, have a few supplies. Have a little bit of water, food, and warmth. You can decide if you should have anything else. Batteries, things for your car. There's no answer to how much you can have. But whatever you have, you want to be able to take care of. And it's always a question for you to look at and see what it is you think is important. Well, we each do that as we see the world around us and we get caution for what is going on. Caution and look out, because things are happening. I think of that. Let's see, it was May 2024 that Ukrainian drones attacked and destroyed a Russian early warning radar station. That radar station was to detect incoming intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs. And it would be to detect missiles coming from the West, especially United States and the United Kingdom, Great Britain. So, because that radar facility was destroyed by Ukrainian drones, the Russians are trying to figure out, what does it mean? Does that mean that now they are going to be attacked since their radar station doesn't work? Well, it's a question, and the Russians have a few questions, because there is a movement for NATO to allow Ukraine into its system. That's one thing going on. There are the F-16s that Biden has sent to the countries around Ukraine. And those F-16s are apparently capable of carrying nuclear weapons. There are questions going on, and it's something which is a caution sign to us. We want to be cautioned about what could be happening. And that destroyed radar station in Russia is an indicator of what can happen. Now, maybe nothing will happen, but look at Russian news. Russian news is telling all about that there could be an attack coming upon Russia from the West, from NATO, from United States, from Great Britain. And these are things that are going on as possibilities. Sure, we don't know, but we sure know that they could be, and that we want to be cautious about what anybody is expecting. The Russians may be expecting an attack, and that's something that we have to remember, that is what they are getting prepared for. They tell their citizens to be aware there could be an attack on Russia. And so we have that going on, and we can be aware that countries all over Europe are having a universal conscription going on, which means a draft. They're having people sign up for a draft, both men and women. And there's even having something going on that if you do not have your papers showing that you have signed up for the draft, you will not be able to renew your licenses. Now, the license could be a driver's license. It could be a license to be a doctor or a nurse. It could be a license to repair cars. Now, if you are not signed up for the draft in those countries, you will not be allowed to have a license, whatever kind, a driver's license or anything else. So we can know that there is a change going on and people are serious about putting a war together. They're serious about creating an army. Now we have things going on all over the world with all different governments. Governments, yes, in Europe. Oh, and we have things going on in California, too. You know that Newsom has just, well, it was an auditor of the budget, and they found out that Newsom's office had not, the way to say it is they had lost $24 billion that had been intended to fight homelessness in California. Billions of dollars just cannot be found. So it's an example of this is what can go wrong in all big governments, all big systems. And we get to figure out how are we going to protect ourselves when things start going wrong and sideways. And we do have a threat of war going on. We also have that Russian President Putin just said that if there were military munitions or drones or something found on Russian territory, Russia would consider the country that made those military armaments to be open for attack. Russia said it would be free to attack those countries. So we do have things going on that could escalate, and of course, maybe nothing will go on. Maybe everything will be convenient and easy for us in America. We will have plenty of food, plenty of warmth, but look around. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks like Americans are going to have problem after problem for many reasons. We have the kind of problems happening in other countries that can happen here. And certainly we look at refugees and what has gone on. Refugees have caused violence in America, and refugees have stolen millions of dollars. That was just in the news too, that Somalian refugees had stolen over $200 million from a COVID relief fund. Now, that was in the news. I tell you, I didn't look it up, but I did hear it. And so we have these things going on. It's not new that one group would do it. It is a regular occurrence that money is stolen from big institutions and big governments. So it's a matter of knowing that troubles can go on, and what should we do about it, because these things might influence our life. Just like the draft might influence our life, and it might not. War might come, war might not come. And we get the indicators all over the place with what's going on with money, with what's going on with the military, with what's, let's see, there was NATO's, a Secretary General, Jens Stoltenberg. And he said that Ukraine had a right to self-defense, and that he expected the path forward would allow Ukraine to join NATO. So, is that going to happen? Will that cause a conflict in the world? Oh, lots of conflicts are possible. In fact, they are happening. They are all getting prepared to happen right now. What shall we do about it? Know that trouble is coming. Know that the Bible predicts what is happening. So, for all the things that is happening, we know the one thing we can do something about for sure is to have food and supplies. The Bible talks about famine in several places. So what are we doing so that we have a supply of food or other things? And we can always trade food or supplies with other people that are around us, especially in our own group. Well, things are going on, and we search for understanding. Oh, some of us search for how to survive a little while longer, a few more years, a few more decades. And some of us search for how good it's going to be when we get raptured. And rapture is good, but we sure don't know what the timing is. Not clearly. The Bible talks about an event where people would be taken out of the world. And there are examples to show that it did happen, and it will happen again. But what before then? Will there be great tribulation? Will there be really some great difficulty? Oh, it sure looks like it. And we get to figure out how are we going to survive it and live through a time when we are professing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, to the people we know, as we are praying for friends and family and people we don't know, and pastors, and people in church. There are so many people to pray for, and that is something we want to do. As things get difficult, we have some ancient examples of what will happen, or can happen, or did happen. I think the biggest one is famine that happened in so many parts of the world. Famine. And I think of Genesis 47. Oh, there's two mentions of how money failed in ancient Egypt. So what does that mean, and could it happen again? Well, it's happening right now. Money is failing. So it happened in ancient Egypt, and it caused, in general, the people to become slaves, because they either became slaves and ate food, or they died. So, what do you think could repeat history now in these days? Well, the same thing could happen. as we deal with all the things in life, including temptations. And the temptations are all around us, and we get to figure out, are we going to follow Jesus, or are we going to follow our own little desires in the things around the world? What are we going to pursue? Do you think you're going to pursue God? Yes, of course we are. But sometime our eyes will cause us to pursue something in the world, a little something that is desirable to us, whether it's food or gold or a person, another person. And somehow we have to remember that our true pursuit is God, Jesus Christ. And then all the other things will happen that are good and wonderful. But we pursue Jesus Christ first. Study Bibles help in that a lot, or just reading the Bible a lot, having conversations with people who are God-fearing, God-seeking people. It's a wonderful thing to do, to go to a Bible study and learn more about the nature of God and the things that were done now and then in the Bible. Well, the Bible tells there will be troubles. There are troubles now in the world, and that's for sure. So how do we avoid the problems with everything? With war, ICBMs? What about if there was a grid down? What if there was an attack on our electrical system? What if we could not buy gasoline or could not buy groceries? I mean, these are things that an enemy would do to America. They would, if they possibly could. They would make it so that our water was poisoned, our food was not good, or was poisoned also, that we couldn't have electricity or the conveniences that we thought we would have. Maybe the car wouldn't work. Too many things that could just happen to every one of us. And we want to remember that our relationship with God is the most important thing. So pray and read Scripture. That's greatly helpful. But we have things going on in the world, and we see the troubles going on around us, and we want to remember to pray for so many people. We want to pray for the people we know. We want to pray for the people who are having hard times, the people who have fallen away from God, the people who are in a religion that they don't recognize. They are praying to a different Jesus. And if we're praying to the wrong Jesus, we're not going to have results. If we're praying to the wrong God, we're not going to have the results that we want. We're going to be deceived. We might even belong to a cult or a false religion. There are false religions all over the place. So, yeah, be sure to pray for other people, the people we know, the people we love, our family, even the people we don't know and don't want to be close to. They still need prayer, and we still don't want them to go to hell. Hell is a terrible, terrible place. So pray for the other people, and if they become a true Christ follower, they will be our friend. They won't be someone we don't like. And things will work out good. Things will work out the best. And that is just what happens as we go through life. We find out the goodness of people, especially as we pray for people. There have been so many times when the prayers of somebody who we knew, oh, maybe a grandmother or father or somebody that was close to us, and they prayed for us as a child, as a baby, and prayers are answered in ways that we don't even know how, but the prayers get answered. And that is something for each one of us to remember, that we can have our prayers answered as we pray for other people. And when we think of the heritage of America, there have been so many prayers for, yes, for America, and yes, for people in America. America has a wonderful history of Christianity, and a part of that Christianity has been to have freedom and rights that everyone has. Those were established not just 200 years ago, but 400 years ago, for instance, and we have the people who were living before the founding fathers, and they professed Christianity and wanted to have the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ spread to the world. They wanted America to be a part of it. And you can look up these people. You can look up John Cotton, Cotton Mather, Increase Mather. Look up Jonathan Edwards, who had those famous sermons about sinners in the hand of an angry God. Those were about 1750. And something that will remind you to stay on the path to Jesus with holiness. So you can hear it or you can read it, that sermon by Jonathan Edwards. And you can read the writings, letters, and books by those other people. Many of them were pastors. John Cotton, Cotton Mather, Increase Mather, they were all people who had a group of believers around them, and they believed in what the Constitution stood for and what the Bill of Rights stood for. But so often today, we don't hear about those people. We do hear about the Founding Fathers, and that is good, but we have an amazing history in America, and it is to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are concerned for people that they go to their eternal destiny of heaven and not hell. And that's a part of the history of America. And sure, there were struggles. America has struggles with so many things, spiritually, physically, politically, and the prayers made a difference, just like your prayers will make a difference for the people around you, for the young people, the children, the people that you would want to see in heaven, or even the people that you would just as soon disregard. Disregard them because you're not interested really in them. But to think of the difference between heaven and eternal torment in hell, no, let's pray for them and pray that they become believers and good neighbors, just like a good Christian would be a good neighbor. So that's what we want to see. Now, I didn't say a perfect Christian or a perfect neighbor, because we have had lots of people which were far from perfect. But if they have a heart to obey Jesus Christ, it makes things so much better and so much easier. So pray for the people around the world, your family members, the pastors, the missionaries, people who would come to be a missionary in the United States. The United States needs missionaries. It is falling apart in the big cities in so many ways, spiritually, physically, morally, in a governmental and a school sense. There have been problems going on in America, and the best thing I know to do is to urge everyone to have that faith in Jesus Christ, where they live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us can walk closer to Jesus Christ with a holiness of God through Jesus Christ. It's not always easy to do that with so many worldly temptations around us. We have challenges with our morality, with money, with things that we want, and somehow we want to walk with Jesus and have the fruits of the goodness of the gospel. Sometime we learn a lesson in life and it stays with us for a long time. Sometime the lesson doesn't stay with us and we have to repeat the lesson, the hard lesson, where we realize, oh, I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to go the way of the world. I want to follow Jesus. So let's each one of us do what we can for that. Pray for other people. Pray for pastors. Pray for people that you know, including the church people. Everyone needs prayer. Every one of us. And so as we go through life, just remember people. Lord, bless those people. Give them greater understanding of your gospel. However you want to pray, pray for what it is at that moment that you are having a sense that you want to bless them with. And it could be something material, could be spiritual, it could be social. So pray for other people. And remember, if you want to hear another broadcast at any time, go to christtoday.org. And thank you for today. God bless you.